Members of Congress want to know whether higher-ups in the military may have ordered soldiers to engage in abuse. Outside the military, some Americans hope the investigations will go much further than that. NPR's Larry Abramson says some critics are hoping the investigation will lead the administration to rethink the notion of a war on terror.
At a Senate hearing this week on the Abu Ghraib scandal, Connecticut Senator Joseph Lieberman said he had been concerned that the prison abuse would raise questions about the morality of the U.S. mission in Iraq. But Lieberman said an act of even greater cruelty somehow vindicated the American effort, news that terrorists had beheaded an American civilian in Iraq.
We have the moral high ground in Iraq. There's not going to be any investigation by any al-Qaeda legislative body of how that happened. Osama bin Laden and Zarqawi are not going to apologize.
But many say, in fact, rough justice has become a way of life in post-9/11 America. Charles Strozier is director of the Center on Terrorism at the City University of New York. He says people don't just engage in this kind of abuse on their own. They usually see it as part of a mission.
Violence in that sense, what sort of undergirds it is a larger purpose which connects it to a goal, to an idea that can be, some can experience as sort of redemptive, but certainly idealistic.
Strozier says the soldiers and contractors in Iraq must have felt they had license to cross the line they crossed. Law professor David Cole of Georgetown University says the administration sowed the seeds for this kind of treatment when it declared hundreds of detainees at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, to be enemy combatants and deprived them of many legal rights.
And the argument is we need to do this in order to break these people, in order to render them entirely dependent on us so that we can get all the information out of them that's in them. That sends a message to, you know, the people on the beat.
At this week's Senate hearing, one lawmaker said this "we told you so" attitude was more dangerous than the abuse itself. James Inhofe of Oklahoma objected to what he depicted as hand-wringing over the treatment of Iraqi prisoners.
They're not there for traffic violations. If they're in cell block 1A or 1B, these prisoners, they're murderers, they're terrorists, they're insurgents. Many of them probably have American blood on their hands. And here we're so concerned about the treatment of those individuals.
The International Committee of the Red Cross believes at least 70% of the prisoners were rounded up in error. Determining the guilt or innocence of detainees can be tough to resolve during wartime, whether that means combat in Iraq or the war on terror in the U.S., where the administration has insisted on the right to hold enemy combatants without charge indefinitely. Yale law professor Bruce Ackerman says Congress should set the rules for responding to terrorism before the next attack.
We should have a state of emergency for 2 months after a major terrorist attack if a majority of Congress agrees.
Ackerman says there are simply too many uncertainties in what's come to be known as the war on terror. Nearly 3 years after 9/11, the Supreme Court has just begun to wrestle with the rules for holding enemy combatants. Ackerman says Congress needs to pass the equivalent of a new USA Patriot Act, but one that expires very quickly.
We should authorize the security services to detain people who are on their watch lists for 45 days so as to break up or reduce dramatically the risk of a second strike.
It's unclear whether such a law should include rules for interrogating prisoners. Some feel those rules already exist and were simply ignored in Iraq. The need for clear guidelines may depend on whether these abuses are viewed as aberrations or as a sign that the culture has changed irrevocably. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.